CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, which means he watches Boca Chica, Texas, very carefully. Because we're all waiting for the third test of Starship Super Heavy. And amazingly, that requires us to solve Washington, D.C.'s administrative state. Bob, a very good evening to you. We need an update on Elon Musk's contest with the FCC, the FAA, and I believe the NLRB. Have I got all the letters correctly so far?
Yeah, you've only listed three, though. There's another six or so government agencies after Elon Musk as well, because, you know, he's obviously an evil Bond villain and must be destroyed by the Biden administration. You've listed at least three correctly, though.
And the NLRB is case in point. When last we left the NLRB, it was a protest from the NLRB about the firing, the exiting of employees who had spoken poorly of the conduct of Mr. Musk and of the company, which, of course, is a great success. But that was some years ago. Is there new information about from the NLRB?
No, none of the update I've got, John, has nothing to do with directly to do with any of this administrative harassment, government harassment of Elon Musk. It does indirectly, but what happened is sometime in the last 2 weeks, Elon Musk gave an update to the employees at Boca Chica, Texas, the people who are basically building Starship Super Heavy. And they posted that video this week online. And in fact, I linked to it on Behind the Black. I linked to a version which snipped out all the applause moments, which cuts the length of the talk in about half. So you just get the meat of what Elon Musk said. And he was giving a full update on the entire company. And so I posted on the website Behind the Black a summary of the main takeaways of his talk. Now he gave a lot of long term goals of the whole company, going to Mars, why we should do it, what's Starlink going to do, Starship, the moon, and a lot of other topics. But to me, the most important takeaways were those that related to their ongoing efforts now, so we can understand better what's going on. So, for example, he said that with that Falcon 9 rocket, they're now upgrading the first stage so that it will be able to fly and be reused up to 40 times, not 20, as they presently say is the limit. They have not yet reused any first stages more than 19 times. And I suspect they plan to, with this first stage of using right now, this fleet, they won't go past 20 based on what he said. But they're planning to upgrade them so they can go 40 times. That's pretty amazing. They also are now aiming for 150 launches in 24. They already have 5 launches this year. It seems to me the biggest obstacle we're going to have to do this kind of launch pace is weather, because that's a pace of almost one launch every 2 days. And if weather is going to delay you for a week, that's just, you can't do anything about that. So we'll see how that plays out. But they did do almost 100 launches this year. So getting to 150 is not out of the realm of possibility. He pointed out the Dragon fleet, their fleet of 4 Dragon capsules has now spent more days at and has made more flights to ISS than NASA's entire shuttle fleet did during its 50-some-odd years of operation. And there's going to, of course, more to come. There's an unmanned, there's a manned commercial flight that's going to leave with tourists sometime later this week. Starlink, he emphasized repeatedly, this is not to replace present phone and internet service. It's a supplement because it serves mostly remote areas. And he wants to emphasize it, I think, because he's been making deals with various companies, phone companies, so that they can use Starlink as a supplement. He said, however, in his talk, it was very clear that the biggest obstacle now to providing this service is government approvals. They are blocked by regulators in many nations worldwide where the service is still operational. He showed a map of the world's services, and it's really interesting. In South America, you've got Brazil and some of the western coastal nations are filled with service, and then big blank spots. But those blank spots to the borderline is purely borders, so the governments are stopping this from spreading. Then the big updates on Starship Super Heavy. They plan to double this rocket's capacity to 200 tons to orbit, which is pretty much twice what the Saturn V could do. And remember, it's reusable. Saturn V was expendable. They would have made orbit on their second test launch in November if they had had a payload. Musk said they figured out why the flight termination system destroyed the Starship shortly before it reached its orbit. And it was because they had loaded it with extra oxidizer, oxygen, to simulate a payload. And when they got close to reaching orbit, they vented that oxygen, and apparently it started a fire, which caused the flight termination system to destroy the spacecraft. So he says he expects to make orbit the next time because they'll have a dummy payload in there. And once it gets to orbit, when it flies, and this is the indirect relation to the FAA and the administrative state, when it flies, they'll try to do engine burns, test engine burns of Starship in orbit, some refueling technology tests, a payload deployment test, and then deorbit procedures. That's their plan. They have pretty much have said they'd be ready to launch this by the end of this month. But they also said that it will not be able to launch for at least a month later because they're waiting for the FAA approval, and that's getting back to the one major delay here. As Musk said, quote, time is the one true currency. They got to move fast. They want to move fast, but they're delayed by, and he didn't say this, I'm saying it. They're delayed by government intransigence, red tape at the federal government, and until that goes away.
Is this Fish and Wildlife? Same thing?
No, in this case, it's the FAA. There are indications that Fish and Wildlife will not get involved in the approval for the next launch license.
Okay.
But, Will, I'm waiting to see. There have been several reports saying it's only FAA this time, but I'm going to wait. What happened last time is the FAA announced it has completed its investigation and now had to wait for the Fish and Wildlife. So I'm going to wait for the FAA to say it's finished. It's fake for false investigation. I must emphasize, the GAO has said FAA does no investigations. It has the companies do the work and then hands it to them. And when it was the Trump administration, SpaceX would complete its investigation. The FAA would say, fine, let's launch. Now it sits for a month to write up its own paperwork, which is just that paperwork.
Right.
And that makes the company wait.
You also have, Bob, a report of some amazing metrics about what Starship Super Heavy can get to orbit.
Yeah, it's 200 tons. This is twice the payload of the Saturn V. And if you put a giant payload in there, then it needs to get refueled, which is what's going to happen on the Artemis program. But if you don't put that much tonnage in, you can put a lot of things in orbit and send it almost anywhere in the solar system. This spacecraft will make it possible, basically, to explore the entire and settle the entire solar system.
That means they can build the interplanetary in orbit. They don't have to build it on Earth, correct? That's what this
is. Well, an interplanetary spaceship is the way we're building them now is generally the space stations we build. We put up modules, we assemble them in orbit, and that becomes a space station, at least a prototype space station. Both the Chinese space station and Mir and ISS were prototype space stations. But with Starship, you could launch Starship if you could refuel it and you have an interior that's created as a place to live. You basically have an interplanetary ship already built. So you put the interior in on the ground, you launch it, you send a second up to refuel it, and then it can go anywhere in the solar system.
And you send fuel out ahead of time, all right.
Yeah, you can do that too. You can send the Starship to Mars in orbit, ready, waiting for a manned vehicle to show up. The possibilities are absolutely endless with a spacecraft like this, especially because it's reusable, which means it doesn't cost very much, which means you can get a lot done for very little money.
Here's what Teddy Roosevelt would do running for re-election. He would get to Boca Chica and stand there on the dais with Elon Musk and say, my kind of man. That's what Teddy Roosevelt would do.
Yes, that's right. But that's not what Joe Biden is doing. That's just the opposite of what Joe Biden
is doing. All right, let's go to Starlink.
This is This is an interesting story, John. Let me go right to it because with time. SpaceX files with the FCC every 6 months an update on the its collision avoidance system in the Starlink satellites. And what's interesting is up until the last 6 months, the number of times the satellites had to do collision avoidance maneuvers had been doubling every 6 months. And so in the six-month period ending at the end of May, they had done it almost – they had avoided more than 25,000 times they'd made done maneuvers. This doesn't mean collisions were going to happen. They just simply did maneuvers to make sure a collision increased the safety margin. But in the next 6 months, the last six-month period, the actual number of collision avoidances went down to 24,000, even though they increased the number of satellites in orbit by 1,000. Now, does this mean that they're doing more precision placement of orbital operations? Or does it mean that we're just seeing a natural fluctuation up and down? We're going to have to wait and see. Remember, once we start seeing other large constellations, such as Amazon's and the ones China is proposing, the two that are most likely to launch in the near future, the number of potential collision avoidance maneuvers is going to have to, I can't imagine it going down. So this is just interesting. Maybe they're just getting better at this. That's the hope.
Did I mention to you, Bob, that the PLA has put out a paper knocking Starlink, one, because it's got military use, two, because they claim that it takes up a lot of bandwidth or the communications are thickened by Starlink, and three, this is the one that connects with what you just said. The PLA officially declares that Starlink can be used in suicide missions to damage the PLA's satellites. Starlink can be.
It is just bluster. It's military bluster.
Military bluster tends to be an excuse for confrontation on low Earth orbit. I just thought I'd mention that. Let's go to what is Momentus?
Momentus is a company that has been developing orbital tugs for small sats. It has had launched several of its Vigoride spacecraft, which carries small sats on it and then can move them after launch, move them. It's like an upper stage, this is, but it's a tug. It can move them to a different location and then deploy them. It can also carry payloads. You don't have to even be deployed. It'll be on the Vigoride spacecraft. Well, they had been bidding for a contract with the military to build the satellites on its Tranche 2 constellation, military's constellation. They had bid on that. They lost. Rocket Lab got the $500 million contract to build the satellite. So Momentus didn't get the contract, and less than a week later, they announced they're delaying their next orbital tug mission, which was scheduled to launch on a Falcon 9 in March, due to cash shortages. They just don't have the cash flow. And in fact, they've laid off in two different moves almost 50% of their workforce. It's unfortunate, but it does appear this company's got problems right now with cash flow. They can't get money because they can't launch. They have no money, but they can't make revenue if they don't launch. And when you got that kind of situation, you got a problem. They're in the process of trying to find additional investor capital, but they haven't found it yet.
We have gone through this with a number of companies, Bob, and invariably when they lay off workers, that is a signal that they're going down. Recovery is very unlikely.
It's a bad sign. It's a very bad sign. It doesn't mean they're dead yet. What could happen is that they will get investment capital, but it'll be in the process of someone buying the company.
Yeah, consolidation. Right.
Yeah, or it could be some outside investor who wants the company for themselves and brings the money in, takes over, and then it comes back to life, but under new management.
The Indian space program, we like a lot, and they've gone to, is this commercial?
Yes, this is not a space program situation here anymore. This is capitalism in space, as I said in my policy paper in 2017. A Indian satellite company called Pixel has opened its first space satellite manufacturing factory in Bangalore, in southern India this week. And they hope to be constructing as many as 40 satellites per year from this facility. And they say that their customer base is divided into three groups, 40% agricultural companies, 30% resource companies, and 30% the government. And what's significant about this is that in the past, all satellites in India were built by ISRO, its space agency. And instead, ISRO is hiring Pixel and so are other private companies to build the satellites for them. And this is just an indication, once again, that India is moving the same way NASA did, from being a builder and controller of everything and have a program, to trying to be a customer and help encourage the growth of a space industry. And if they succeed, as they seem to be doing, and very aggressively, India is going to become a very major player in space in the coming years. And not because they have a good space program, but because their government has encouraged the private industry to grow.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, we're going exploring. I'm John Pasch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.